This is the Titus 2, 3-5 Bible study for women on loving your husband, part 2, submission. Well, the fear and anxiety began for me with a simple statement by my husband, Larry, the ultimate entrepreneur, who said, "We should bring Christian radio to St. Cloud, Minnesota, and see if there's any space left on the FM band." Now, we had recently moved to a smaller city of about 60,000 and very dark spiritually to do ministry. We sometimes got in the car on Sunday evening with our two small children and drove toward the cities so we could pick up our favorite program. It was a theological program. I don't remember the name of it, but it was on Sunday night. That was back in the early 80s, 1980s. There was no Christian radio in our town. It's hard to imagine that today with so many Christian stations available. I had learned that my husband processes ideas internally. So by the time he expresses them, they are already far down the road. Now, never mind that we had started a new church that met in our home every week, about 55 people at that time, meals every Sunday after service. I was responsible for the music worship and the women's Bible studies. We supported ourselves by owning a Christian bookstore in a mall that was open 6 days and every evening, that we were homeschooling our children and caring for Larry's 96-year-old father in our home. Build and start a radio station that is live on air 24/7. And this is before computers, where you need staff. That idea was so huge and so overwhelming and unfamiliar and would cost us a lot of startup money, which I later discovered would probably involve using our house as collateral, because those were the days there were no credit cards. Can you believe that? And it was either a bank loan or your own cash. We had just spent the past 9 years getting financially free so that our house was paid for and we had learned to live on very little. It was our goal that we wanted to become financially free to pursue ministry without having to raise funds or needing a huge salary. We were tent makers with our bookstore. So, cutting paper napkins in half at home, making and growing most of our own food, grinding my own wheat berries into flour for bread, sewing clothes and curtains, all at risk for a radio station that we know nothing about starting and operating and would take all of our savings and more, to say nothing of time, on air 24/7. Submission became an abstract word. In the light of reality, it seemed untenable for me. It felt overwhelming and definitely unworkable for our already overloaded lives. Well, submission is the topic today. We live in a culture that has removed obey from wedding vows. You've probably noticed that. How is submission to a husband viewed in our world today? Being a fool as a woman, ignorant, helpless, a victim, being weak. And what roles did you expect as a wife? And what did you expect from a husband when you prepared to get married? You know, where do we get these expectations? I mean, of course, it's movies and books, but also from our own parents and what we observe among friends. Tim and Kathy Keller have written the book, The Meaning of Marriage, together. And she alone wrote the chapter on submission. And I would like to share some of her insights here. She said, "The differences between men and women will become an unavoidable issue in every marriage. Before marriage, we lived in a more of a unisex world. You take the same classes, you compete equally for grades. It's a more level playing field. And then marriage unfamiliar turf from having functioned equally beforehand. In the Bible, there are actually quite a few areas of equality. Well, what are they? Well, we're both made in the image of God. We're equally blessed, equally given dominion over the earth, and both have access to eternal life. But the fall brought catastrophic change in the unity between man and woman, and the air became filled with, as you well know, blame shifting, finger pointing, and accusation. She writes, "Our husbands are utterly unlike us. His thoughts, his actions, and the way he operates. Living with someone of the other sex is hard because we are created radically different, and yet we're incomplete without each other." Submission. Well, Scripture doesn't mince words about submission. We're the ones left to figure out how submission works in real life with a husband. We're going to look at the verses in the Bible that use the word submit in the role of a wife. We'll begin with reading Titus 2, 3 to 5, and it's verse 5 that says, "And submission to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." We talked about that last time. How would lack of submission revile God's word? And realizing that sometimes our marriages, Christian marriages, don't look much different from the world. Genesis 3:16, that man would rule over his wife, that the leadership and complementary role ordained before the fall had been damaged and distorted by sin. And now the ongoing struggle between men and women is in controlling and leading. And we all as women recognize within ourselves, don't we, that sense of wanting control, that submission doesn't come easily. Ephesians 5:22-24 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." And so, how does the church submit to Christ? 1 Peter 3:1-6. "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Last time we talked about quiet meaning, and that doesn't mean not to speak, but it meant peaceful, not anxious. "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." Well, the interesting thing is that sentence, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God." Their submission was based really in their hope in God. So, what does submission look like in a healthy relationship? Keller mentions in the book that the Bible does not give a list of specific role duties, like who should care for the children, who should take out the garbage, do the finances. Every couple needs to work that out in their own marriage. And the very process is a key part of what it is to think out and honor your gender differences and your gifts and your own abilities. The definition of submission, the Greek word in Titus is hupotasso. It is a combination of two root words, which means under and to arrange. I have my favorite all-time definition by John Piper. He defines it as the divine calling to honor and affirm a husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. I think that's worth repeating. The divine calling to honor and affirm a husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. A divine calling ordained by God at creation. Why do we as Christian women struggle with submission at times? What are our fears? Well, the fallibility of husbands, that we might be insignificant, consequences of a husband's bad choices, relinquishing control, fear of conflict, of not being heard, being dismissed or disregarded, and maybe we don't like change. But truthfully, we wage a spiritual battle. It's beyond our husband or the issue before us, like the radio station. We naturally want control of life, and Satan knows how to stroke our fears. It is an unseen battle. Here are some insights from commentaries. A couple of theologians. We'll begin with John Piper on what submission is not. I found this very helpful. Submission does not mean putting the husband in the place of Christ. It does not mean that the husband's word is absolute. Only Christ's word is absolute. No wife should follow a husband into sin. It does not mean surrendering thought or input on decisions or influence upon her husband. It does not come from ignorance or incompetence. He writes, submission is an inclination to say yes to the husband's leadership and a disposition of the spirit to support his initiatives. He says, at times, a wife may hesitate if the decision looks unwise. Husbands are fallible. And this is important. He concludes, we must seek wisdom and speak truth. So ultimately, the appropriate response of submission is designed to do two things, at least. One, to bring glory to God, and good to us. Glory to God and good to us. Well, the next step in the radio station journey was to cautiously get educated. We visited other stations that were started and run by families. How much did it cost to get started? And how long did it take for listeners to begin to support nonprofit Christian radio in their community? And how did they staff it 24/7? Did they have any regrets? Remember, this is before computers when you needed live personnel on the air. God slowly began to give me a glimpse of radio's power to change lives. And of course, that was the vision that Larry embraced. He was the visionary, but we also got a dose of reality. It's very hard to raise funds. It takes years. You'll work 100 hours a day yourself and rely on God daily, fueling my hesitation to add that to our already overloaded lives. Weren't our current ministries enough? I reluctantly started to pray about it, so I needed everything mentioned in 1 Peter 3. Put my hope in God. In Hebrews 11, faith is defined by hope. The presence of hope casts out fear. Whew. Well, and then the one from 1 Peter where it says to be unanxious and not be intimidated, to be unintimidated, meaning having a quiet spirit, lack of anxiety. I was plenty anxious and intimidated. I long for more control of our lives, not less. Stephen Cole, in another commentary, writes, God's commands are for our good. The church is not degraded by submitting to Christ. On the contrary, it is to God's glory to submit to Christ and our good. There are those two reasons again. God's glory and our good. It was the our good issue that I couldn't wrap my arms around. And Stephen Cole writes, if we fight against the idea of submission to our husband, we're really fighting against God. Roles in marriage are not culturally determined, but ordained by God at creation. Well, back to Tim Keller's perspective on submission. The concept is complementary. Man without woman was not good, according to Genesis. A helper suitable. To help is to make up what is lacking in him with your strength. Woman was made to be a strong helper. Kathy Keller said, I discovered that my submission in marriage was a gift I offered, not a duty coerced from me or something that could be taken from me. Jesus was equal with God, but took on a role of a servant, the most submissive of roles. Well, finally, God gave me a little hope about moving ahead with the radio station. Did I trust Larry? Barely. Although all of his entrepreneurial efforts in ministry had been successful thanks to God's grace, in each endeavor we were so aware of God's leading and provision. Why was I so anxious now? The shift finally came in trusting Christ alone. The power of the Holy Spirit helping me to surrender that God was speaking to my husband. God was speaking to my husband and leading us on a journey of faith and hope against all odds, so that none could boast except in the glory of God. I started to pray earnestly. Speak to him, Father. Speak to him, Father. Speak to him, Father. I am trusting you to work through him. Well, to even consider a radio station as a possibility, you need to prove to the FCC that there is still space on the FM band in your area. Most are filled. We decided to apply and begin the laborious process. This requires volumes of studies, tests, collecting data, filling out paperwork for the FCC. It cost several thousand dollars and required a special attorney to validate the data. It took months. You also have to own or rent. We paid rent on a transmitting tower and office space for a studio before submitting the application, or they won't even consider it. Kathy Keller reminds women at times that we are asked to play out the Jesus role in marriage. His subordinated role showed greatness, not weakness. And men have an equal degree of submission to God in marriage. They're called to be servant leaders, not dominating rulers. How does our culture expect leaders to behave? Isn't it often power, privilege, perks? She strongly states, Kathy Keller, you have to find a very safe place to practice headship and submission. Find a husband who will truly be a servant leader to match you being a strong helper. I need to comment that I believe there are different dynamics if you are in an abusive or an addictive relationship. And sadly, statistically, this may be possible for anyone listening. The wife walks a different kind of journey in abuse or addiction that borders on enabling or can even be dangerous. counsel with a pastor is a good place to start. We're going to take a few minutes to respond to three questions on a paper regarding submission. I'd like you just to write down your responses. Number one, in which areas with my husband do I feel vulnerable and afraid to submit? I'll repeat that. Number one, in which areas with my husband do I feel vulnerable and afraid to submit? Two, what do I think God wants to accomplish in my life through the issue of submission? Number two, again, what do I think God wants to accomplish in my life through the issue of submission? And three, what steps could I take to shift my trust from my husband to Christ? What steps could I take to shift my trust from my husband to Christ? Okay. Well, back to the radio station drama. It should be more aptly titled My Spiritual Battle Drama. Once the FCC application is submitted, others can apply on your data without paying any of the fees or doing any of the work. We already proved that there was space that existed on the FM band. And about five companies and individuals did apply on ours. And the FCC reserves the right to choose whomever they wish. The government does not always favor Christians. Then, the FCC had a two-year freeze on applications, and I don't even know why that happened. In a step of faith, we paid rent every month on a tower and office for more than 2 years, not knowing if we would even receive the license. In the fall of 1986, a letter arrived. We were awarded the license. That very evening, Larry hooked up a simple CD player to the tower, and he and Rebecca, 11 years old, got in the car and drove the 50-mile circle in the countryside to see how far out it would broadcast. They and we listened over and over and over to one CD, Leslie Phillips' song, Strength of My Life. We were just praising God. It was coming through loud and clear, at least a 50-mile radius. The next morning, we got a call from a listener 150 miles away. I guess the atmosphere must have been just right that night, who scanned his dial and heard us. It was encouraging, like, thank you, Lord, a listener. But then the real work began. Buying equipment, contract with programs like Focus on the Family, pay fees to recording companies to play their music, hire staff on air to help us cover the 24-hour shifts. We all had shifts. Forming an advisory board to come alongside, marketing the station, and begin raising listener support, which of course was most critical. It was such an uncharted journey. It was daily full of difficulties and technical problems to be solved. The beginning of journeys are often a mix of hope and uncertainty, aren't they? Like getting married, raising children, starting a new job. And life presents roadblocks and hard times. Sadly, that is the path to maturity and God's plan for growing us. The process we go through in daily life matters, especially in our marriages. Learning to be respectful of gender differences and yet fully using our gifts for the good of one another. And ultimately, willing to trust Christ more. Well, we sold the bookstore to help finance and barely start the radio station. We owned the station for 13 years before passing it on to another nonprofit Christian station. It took 7 lean years before we could even earn a small salary. Was there a bigger picture? Did it matter? Was it for our good or the good of others, and did it bring glory to God? Did it accomplish those two things, glory to God or our good? In the darkest of communities spiritually, that community was 65% Catholic, 25% Lutheran, Evangelical 8%. Which, of course, is why we decided to start a church there. There was not much gospel being preached. Our hope was to reach the unsaved. And eventually, over much time and years, the financial giving to the station mirrored the profile of the community. Mostly Catholics were listening and giving and being saved. Can you believe that? Hundreds gave their lives to Christ. We heard constantly from people who listened during the night from the local prison cell and from a college dorm who put their trust in him, and but families. We had two colleges and one university in the area. And it became the unifying factor among the diverse religious groups in town. We had two Catholic born-again priests on air occasionally with Larry discussing theology, like the sacraments. I was the moderator, and the phone lines all lit up with questions from Catholics about faith and the Bible. Was it for our good? Well, it became a family business. Rebecca was on air at the age of 12 and was choosing the contemporary Christian music at 16. This is before computers and playlists from Nashville. And her playlist actually was the same that was finally available from Nashville at one point. She was our best on-air person. She could multitask with accuracy, be live on air, give the weather and time, cue up the next song, and announce it all at the same time and do it well. Bless her. Our son Lawrence was on air as a teenager on Saturdays, playing music, Adventures in Odyssey, answering the phone line for requests. He also did homeschool at a desk at the station. I did a lot of interviewing live on air of artists coming to town and for concerts and authors of books, local pastors or event planners. I did 1 minute daily devotionals using my gifts. Larry and I sometimes did an early morning show together in our own share funds to raise money. And the station, we also sponsored the local Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, which grew to 500 or more attendees. We tried to bring in some powerful speakers of faith like Elizabeth Dole and Adolf Kors III and others. And at least half of the attendees were area business people who were not believers. In closing, I look back on the journey. It was never easy. We were at times overwhelmed, afraid, and discouraged, but God always gave us what was needed to be encouraged at just the right time and to have hope. Never early, always on our knees. I don't regret investing our lives into it. We could not boast. It was truly God's work. When Larry was in his cancer journey needing funds for the experimental treatment, it was FDA pending, not approved, so there was no insurance coverage. And melanoma doesn't respond to typical chemo and radiation. The community raised more money for his treatment than had ever been done before. And they thanked him for his significant spiritual contribution to their lives. God was glorified through Larry's faith and vision. And God's word is now still broadcast to that community 24 hours a day. By the way, when we started the church, we attended Gene Getz's workshop at Dallas Theological Seminary. We were part of the Fellowship Bible Church concept with Reformed theology, which he developed conceptually as a professor and pastor. And while there, Larry and I together took a leadership skill test that measured four categories of abilities. Larry scored in the 90th percentile and above as a visionary, and he was also in that 90th percentile as a risk taker. I scored in that same 90th percentile in two other categories, in the people skills and organization. So, you know, it just supports what we've learned about women being strong helpers, is that he could not have done it well without my gifts. and I needed his vision and courage. Our gifts and differences were complementary. When they're not the same, we get scared or disappointed or sometimes even mad at our husbands. But God's design meant it for our good and his glory. It leads us to hope in God, maybe not always so much in our husbands. I get weak in the knees recognizing the power I held as a wife to block or influence for good the leadership of my husband. It will always be a spiritual battle, fought unseen by human eyes, an inward journey of trusting Christ that is then reflected in our outward lives. I'm going to end with God's promise from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Spirit, you may abound in hope. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for each wife here to trust you, Lord, for that gentle and quiet spirit that brings glory to you and to our husbands and speaks volumes to the world about you. Not fearful, but living a life of faith and hope, surrendering like Mary did with complete trust in you for good, recognizing there is always a bigger picture than we can see. Give us wisdom, Lord. Amen.